Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house on this Pentecost Sunday. And this also, we have the privilege today to recognize our recent graduates of Berry Christian Church. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign our friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors. And if you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will bring to you where you're seated if you'll simply raise your hand so we can find you. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Good to see you this morning. We've got two, I think. And one over here, too. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in this morning's service. On Sunday afternoon, June 3rd, please note that we'll be celebrating our spring church picnic here on the church grounds. Then on Saturday, June 9th, the ladies of Berry are hosting the Father's Appreciation Breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's more information in the bulletin's announcement insert for both of these events. Please also note that Carol will be taking some vacation time later this week. We are grateful that Kathy Connell will be filling in those days, helping us in the church office. Any youth interested in attending the summer camps at Tall Oaks, please do contact us in the church office as soon as you can. And please also note that a flyer and offering envelope are available inside your bulletin as your participation in this year's Pentecost offering, which helps start new congregations in our area. That offering is being received along with our regular offering this morning. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done. Let us sing hymn number 237, stanzas 1 and 4.
Pentecost they gathered quite early in the day. A band of Christ's disciples to worship, sing, and pray. A mighty wind came blowing, filled all the swirling air, and tongues of fire aglowing inspired each person there. O Spirit sent from heaven on that day long ago, rekindle faith among us in all life's ebb and flow. Oh, give us ears to listen and tongues aflame with praise, so people of all nations glad songs of joy shall raise.
May we bow in prayer. O Lord God, as we celebrate yet another day of life, we lift up our graduates this morning as they begin their new journeys, and we also lift up their families who support and love them unconditionally. We are grateful for their presence in our lives and in our church. And as we begin our worship now, we pray, Lord, that we might feel blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, our companion and our guide. Nurture us now, O God, as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, and to us.
Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship today. Please be seated. Please be seated. About this time every year, we have the great privilege to honor the graduates among us. This year, we have a number of young folks to recognize who have recently graduated from high school or college. In first service, we had, I think, four present with us. I don't think any of our graduates are present during this service. I don't see any of them anyway. If you are here, though, please do come forward for a few moments. We'd like to recognize Skylar Clark, daughter of Paul and Tasha, and, of course, granddaughter of Ken and Sarah Lynn McFarland, who graduated from Staley High School with a gold medallion honors diploma. She has a number of accomplishments, and you can see those in your little bulletin insert, including the Honor Roll and National Honor Society. Skylar will be attending KU with plans to attend law school in the future. So congratulations, Skylar, and, of course, Sarah Lynn. Jennifer Wimares is the granddaughter of Barbara Mayberry, and Jennifer graduated from Park University on May 12th. With a bachelor's degree in graphic design, and she's already begun working at Grapevine Designs in Lenexa, Kansas. And Nicholas Clark, who is the grandson of Susan Cox, will graduate from Clark College in Vancouver, Washington in June with an associate degree. He will be continuing his education at Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington, majoring in pre-law. So quite a nice set of accomplishments. Let's give our graduates a little round of applause. And at this time, we'd like to invite our future graduates, our children, to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Oh, we just keep getting more and more and more. This is so awesome. I love it. How are you guys this morning? We're doing good? All right. Well, I got to tell you, this week I had a busy week. And I kept trying to think of some little lesson I could give you guys this morning. And it wasn't working. And I kept going, God, I need some inspiration. I was getting nothing. There was nothing there. And I kept going, God, I need some inspiration. And I was getting nothing. And I was getting frustrated. Do you ever get frustrated when you think somebody's not paying attention to you? Well, that's kind of what I was feeling like. And then Thursday, I was sitting out in my car in front of the school waiting for my grandkids, and I got this little ping. Ping. And it said, "You forgot to listen." And I said, "What?" It says, "You forgot to listen." So here's the thing. It wasn't that God wasn't paying any attention to me. It's that I wasn't listening to what God was trying to say. And then it occurred to me. It's like, well, now that is just the perfect lesson for today, because today is Pentecost. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? Pentecost, today we celebrate the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. And whenever we talk to God, it's those little pings in our head. And I wasn't listening to the pinging. Sometimes we have to be quiet. We have to sit still and we have to listen if we want to be able to hear what God says. Because he doesn't always yell at us. As a matter of fact, most of the time he doesn't yell at us. He whispers little voices in our head that tell us to be good and what we should do. So, next time we want to talk to God, we got to be still a minute and listen to what God has to say. Let that Holy Spirit work in our heads and our hearts. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful, gracious gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let us remember to be still, to be silent and listen to what you have to say to us so that we can follow the directions that you give us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. God bless you. As we go to God in prayer, a number of things to celebrate as well as some prayer concerns to certainly lift up to you. We rejoice that in the 8:30 service this morning, Jason and Erica Miller were able to bring their fourth and youngest child, who was born just a few weeks ago. Catherine, or they're calling her Kit, was present with us in worship, and we're looking forward to having a dedication service for Kit on the second Sunday of June. So looking forward to that wonderful event. Our sympathy is certainly extended to Barbara Mayberry with the death of her grandson, Adam Blake. Adam was riding a motorcycle on a rural highway in Iowa and came over a hill and didn't have enough time to stop as a fifth wheel type flatbed trailer with a pickup truck was striving to make a turn and hit that trailer, and it took his life. So the arrangements for the service are still pending. It may be a week or so before that takes place. We have a card, and Carrie, if you'll see that gets passed about sanctuary to anyone. So I appreciate y'all. If y'all would like to sign the card, we'd like to get that in the mail so it arrives at the time that Barbara is back at her home. And Alana's going to be helping us to take up a collection that can be used where our congregation will either be making a memorial gift or an arrangement of flowers for the funeral so that Barbara's family will know we certainly have been thinking about them. If you'd like to make a contribution to that cause, just speak with Lana after the service or sometime this week. Again, the service may be a week in the making still, or it may be the very end of this week. We're just still waiting to find out. And the services will be taking place in their hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. We lift up Juanita Wyckoff's son, Dan Carlisle, who's often in worship with Juanita. We lift him up, Juanita, as Dan has discovered he has a type of throat cancer and is looking to have surgery at KU here in the future, maybe 2-3 weeks from now, right, Juanita? So please lift up Dan in prayer. John and Dorinda Hoke, we continue to remember them in prayer as John has been undergoing treatments for that tumor that was removed from behind his right eye. He's making really good progress, and the treatments are going well, and they were both present in worship at the 8:30 service, and they both joined our congregation this morning. So we just praise God for the good things taking place as he continues this treatment. Luella, we are so glad that your daughter, Joellen, is here. God bless you. So wonderful to see you, Joellen. And we just praise God for continued recovery for you in the midst of your recent surgery. And also we have Luella's sister, Shirley, and her husband, Ron, is it Atterbury, from California. God bless you. So glad you're here. God bless you. And Don, it's good to see you this morning, too. Glad you could be with us in service. Also, we lift up Peggy and Jerry Treese. And Jerry, it's been a few weeks since we've been able to see you in worship. God bless you. Glad you're here. And Peggy's here, too. God bless you both. Hope you all got the move settled out, got that squared away. Still working on it. Just like Glenn and Sam recently made a move, and you all still working with boxes, too, right? It takes a while, you know, but it all gets settled out. We praise God for your presence this morning. And also, remember Freddie Nichols. She continues to have these rather significant back concerns, and she continues to be at the Linden Woods, which is behind the Hy-Vee on 72nd and Highway 1. I think these are all the people we need to lift up. So may we go to God in prayer this morning. We rejoice in the privilege to worship you, O God, on this Pentecost Sunday, as we also honor our graduates. And even though Christ had told his disciples on many occasions that the Holy Spirit would be coming, even as he asked them to remain in Jerusalem so that they could receive the Spirit, we know the Spirit's presence on Pentecost was still a tremendous and surprising experience to so many who were touched that day. So it is also for us, O God. In so many ways, you have proclaimed your reassurances to us, but yet we too are surprised by your loving care, your grace, and your desire to journey with us. May it be on this Pentecost Sunday very reassuring and comforting to every one of us that Christ tells us that your Spirit now dwells within our hearts and minds forever. And with such companionship from you, O God, may it be with confidence and with a lighter step that we experience great joy with each new day. And as our graduates step forward with new endeavors after the achievement of their significant milestones in life, may they too experience the reassuring guidance of your Spirit. And as we mourn the loss of more citizens from yet another senseless shooting on yet another one of our campuses, we pray that there may come a day in which the peace of your Holy Spirit will indeed dwell in the hearts and minds of everyone of your children here on earth. We offer this prayer, O God, as we celebrate Christ's presence with us, and as we offer the prayer he teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture this morning may be found in the on your pew Bible on page number 985. It is from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the 18th through 29th verses. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you will believe. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Amen.
Now that was a fun song, wasn't it? Good song for Pentecost. Praise God. Thank you, Andrew, as always. And Lenora and choir members, we just thank you. God bless you. And by the way, this is a kind of our last gathering for the choir, as we're going to be taking a summer break, and Andrew will be out of the picture next Sunday. But I understand Ken's going to be here next Sunday to sing for us. We're looking forward to that, Lenora. And Andrew, we wish you the best. If you may be traveling next weekend, God bless you. The Old Testament gives testimony on many occasions to the presence and dynamic influence of the Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit, and the Gospels do the same for the ministry of Christ. But with Christ's ascension into heaven and with the subsequent presence of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there's something new. Jesus makes a significant promise to his disciples in John chapter 14 as he states, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God." We remember from what we learned about the presence of Jesus during the 40 days of his resurrected appearances that Jesus would appear and then he would disappear. Remember? He would only be with them for a brief period of time. And of course, with his ascension, then Jesus is gone from the presence of the people. But here in John's gospel, what we are understanding is Jesus is giving us the reassurance that ever since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit resides with us. How long? The text says forever. Forever. That means now. And all the way through eternity, the Spirit of God is with us. We celebrate this truth as we gather around the Lord's table and as we understand that it was through Christ's resurrection, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension that the Spirit of God's presence is made possible. Our communion hymn this morning is number 241. We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we gather at this table in remembrance of your Son, our Savior. His sacrifice and love for us is placed in these emblems that we may see them and touch them. And as we take of this bread and drink from this cup, we are filled with God's love. Lord, we ask that you bless these emblems as they fill us with your loving spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
We remember that the very first Pentecost was indeed a wonderful evangelistic event, as Acts chapter 2. One thing about eating that little bitty piece of cracker and a little bit of juice and then trying to talk is always a problem. But Acts chapter 2, many believed the teachings of Peter, and about 3,000 people were added to the fellowship of the Christian faith that day. It seems only fitting then that it is on Pentecost Sunday that we receive what we call the Pentecost offering, which is used to help establish new churches here in Kansas City on both the Kansas and Missouri sides. And the flyer and the bulletin envelope that you have tells you more about the offering and gives you an opportunity to contribute if you would like to do so. We consider these thoughts as one that leads us in a word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Lord, we come together to give thanks for all we have. Now as we give back, there is no gift more important than gifts that are given in your name to do your will. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, it is our privilege to be in your house and to be blessed by the comforting presence of your Holy Spirit and to know that your Holy Spirit desires to guide us always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Here we are on Pentecost Sunday. And again, remember, if you think back on when Easter was, and we know that Jesus had that 40-day time period that he dwelt among his disciples and other followers and teaching them about what it meant to really uphold the values of the Christian faith. And then, of course, he ascended into heaven, and then there's this little stretch of time between that 40 and the 50th day, and the 50th day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread for Jewish Christian people. And so they gathered in the temple to participate in one of the annual festivals that really was an important event for Jewish people. So those early Jewish Christian people were still adhering to their Jewish ways while they were also embracing the values of Christianity. And a wonderful thing happened. The blessing of the Spirit, right? Now, we also understand as we look back into the Scriptures from that event that Jesus on different occasions, again, not only gave the people a forewarning about his crucifixion, but also embraced the notion that he would raise from the dead 3 days later, right? But he also gave them the assurance that there was going to be this helper, this comforter, to abide with them, right? He told them this before it even happened. So as we look at John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the 18th verse here, Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper. And if you read those chapters in John's Gospel, there are so many messages of comfort that Jesus communicates to his disciples after they've shared in the Lord's Supper and before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. So with that backdrop, we understand that Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I love the way the NIV states this. You know, no one likes to be without support and help. You know, I think back on my father's life. He came from a family of 12 children. His mother and father were both deceased by the time he was 12. That much of the story I know. I also, though, remember being told that when my father graduated from high school, he was not even living with a sibling. He was living with another family. He was the youngest of 12 children, and I have never been able to understand or was ever told why it was that if you have 11 brothers and sisters that are older than you, why was it that my father was not living with one of them? Talk about feeling like you're what? An orphan. Left alone. It's no wonder my dad joined the Air Force. It was. I think he joined the Air Force to get a different start in his life. And praise God he did. It worked for him. You know? Jesus, though, is saying, even before he leaves that upper room, you will not be left as an orphan. The text goes on to say in verse 26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. Again, Jesus is saying, don't worry. The roadmap has been spelled out. And you should take a measure of comfort to know that I'm showing you the way. You know, nothing in life is more distressing than wondering what's happening. Right? You know, a road seems so much longer when you are going on that twisty, windy road that you've never been on before for the very first time. Now, after you become familiar with that road, you'll just zip your way around it, and it becomes so familiar, you think, oh, that was quick, right? But boy, that first time, you really wonder, how long is this going to take? And you can feel a little anxious, right? Wondering if you're going the right way. You know, I think that's the way people often feel when they're in the midst of dealing with illness. Not quite sure what's happening. Not quite sure how the road's going to go. Not sure what's next. And that can be tremendously disconcerting for someone who's dealing with illness. Same way for someone who's dealing with job loss and wondering what the next employer might be. Or loss of family members, dear loved ones, wondering what's the next part of life, right? Jesus knew that once he was gone, the disciples were going to feel a measure of distress. And so he says, I'm not leaving you as an orphan. The Spirit will be coming to help you. This promise was so important that Jesus not only makes this promise at the Last Supper, he also makes it just before he ascends into heaven. So even after the 40 days he'd been dwelling with them. Look at the text of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And when they came together, he gave them this order. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized you with water, but in a few days... So again, this is like day 40. He's about to ascend. And you still got 10 more days till we get to Pentecost. In a few days, you will be baptized, what's the text say? With the Holy Spirit. So, Pentecost came, did it not? And the Holy Spirit manifested itself to these Jewish Christian people in three ways. First of all, the text tells us, verse 2, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house. This word house in Greek actually means temple. It's because the temple was often referred to as the, what? The house of God. This is not some little bitty room they're in. They are at the temple. And the Spirit fills the place by this sound of a mighty wind. Don't you know that caught a lot of people's attention? Woo, what is that? Boy, it catches our attention. You know, if you've lived in Kansas, Western Texas, a whole lot of parts of Texas, and Oklahoma, even Missouri, boy, you hear a wind. Don't you take notice? Any of you been in a tornado? Ever seen damage? You know what it's like. The damage is horrific. I've cleaned up so many times, I think, man, you know, when's the next time I got to clean up after this? The wind, just the sound, caught their attention. And then the text, verse 3, then they saw what looked like tongues of fire that spread out and touched each person there. And verse 4, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Basically, what the Greek is actually saying, they were able to comprehend the languages spoken from a different tongue. Like, somebody speaking in Spanish, and you could, yep, I got that. I understand exactly what you're saying. Even though I hear you speaking in Spanish, I know what you're saying. I comprehend it. That comprehension was God's way of saying that the Spirit is for everyone. The text tells us there were 15 different locations around the world that the Apostle Paul, or Simon Peter, talks about here, excuse me, in this text in the book of Acts. And so they receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, these Jewish Christian people from all over the world. Now then, later on in Acts chapter 10, where the text says, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. In this text, Peter was speaking to Gentile people who were affiliated with the Roman captain Cornelius in the community of Caesarea. Here they had all gathered in his place. They were interested in this new faith. And here we have the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon Gentile people. But what we have to understand is that the blessing of the Holy Spirit wasn't just way back then on that day in Pentecost. What we need to understand and really embrace is that the Holy Spirit comes within us, comes to us. When? At the time we make our confession of faith and as we choose to be baptized into the faith. Look at the text of Acts chapter 2. Peter said to them in verse 38, each one of you must turn away from his sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. If you've made your confession of faith, if you've embraced Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit within you. But what is the Holy Spirit? I like to say that it's like the consciousness of God that dwells within us and desires to guide and influence our consciousness. You know, I've said on many occasions when we've talked about eternal life that you will take it with you. What will you take with you? Anybody remember from past sermons? You'll take your consciousness with you, your ability to remember what was in the past, to experience the fact that you're in the here and now, and the ability to anticipate what will be in the future. That is the essence of your conscious mind. Your consciousness will go with you into God's eternal kingdom.
What we have to understand is that the blessing of the Holy Spirit is God's consciousness dwelling with your consciousness in a most dynamic and wondrous way. And when we really grab onto that notion, it goes to show that even though so many times we think that God is so far away, God is really up close and personally with us, with every one of us, right now. We don't have to wait for the presence of God for an eternal life. The presence of God dwells in us now. I really do believe that early Christian believers understood this better than we do. Because in the book of Acts, there are 40 references to the Holy Spirit guiding people's lives in the very first 13 chapters of that book. They got it. We don't get it. We still think God's out there and we're here. No! God is within you. Now. Look at the text. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Holy Spirit guided Philip to go speak to the Ethiopian. Acts chapter 11, verse 12. The Holy Spirit guided Simon Peter to go without hesitation to visit the emissaries from Caesarea. Again, why? So that the Gentile people could be saved. The Holy Spirit led the prophet Agabus from Jerusalem to Antioch and to stand up and predict the coming famine throughout the land in Acts chapter 11. So that the people could begin to make the collection that would be used to help tide the people over in the midst of those famine years. That's the guidance of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided Paul past Asia, down into Troas, and then into Europe in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 20, the Holy Spirit guided Paul in such a way that he says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit has warned me that prison and troubles await for me. But I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me and only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God. You remember the story where he is bit by a venomous snake over working with a fire, trying to get the wood together for a fire? He just shakes the snake off. Remember that story? He shakes the snake off. He goes on about his business. And yet the other people are going, look what just happened. He's going to die before our very eyes. Does he die? No, he doesn't. Why? Because he knows he already had been told that he was going to be going to Rome. That's the Spirit's guidance. So he's not afraid. He knows that this incident's not going to take his life. He's still not going where he's supposed to go. He's not afraid. You know, so many times we spend our lives in fear and apprehension because we just wonder what's going to be next. Well, what's next is the kingdom of God. Right? What do we have to fear? How do we know the Holy Spirit is working in our lives? First of all, by reading the Word of God, becoming immersed in the Word. 2 Timothy tells that in the third chapter. We know that we are inspired by the guidance of the Holy Spirit through prayer. So many times in the Gospel of Luke, we understand that Jesus is in the midst of prayer as the Holy Spirit guides him. When the disciples are chosen, at the Transfiguration, at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's even praying as the Holy Spirit comes upon him at his baptism. So, through the Scriptures, through prayer, and through just having a conscious awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence, we can be so profoundly blessed by the Spirit's presence within us. All we have to do is plug in. It's kind of like electricity. Aren't we glad we have it? My gosh, the room's comfortable, right? We've got light. We're not sweltering from heat or too cold when it's cold. We love electricity. But you got to plug into it. Otherwise, all those electronic devices of yours are absolutely useless. All that battery life just won't last, will it? That's the way it is with the Spirit. We got to be willing to plug in. But when we do, God guides us in miraculous and wonderful ways. That's the true power and blessing of Pentecost. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day that you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 622. Let us stand and sing stanzas 1 and 3 of 622, please.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current. Let me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and pray God's blessing upon you with the blessing of God's Spirit as you journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, as we depart, we do give thanks for the abiding presence of your life that dwells within our lives now and forevermore. It is in Christ's name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me.